and then turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Now the thing that we're going to be looking at is something that Jesus said numerous times in the New Testament. A very important thing. I actually had a question about this, and so I kind of decided to make it into a theme as I began to take the time to study it out. But in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 12, Jesus says, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." Matthew 25:29 says, "For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." Mark 4:25 says, "For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." Luke 18:8, "Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." In Luke 19:26, "For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him." So those are pretty ominous words when you look at it in the context of what is being spoken about. And so we're going to look at at least two of those instances today, possibly three. But we're going to look at them and we'll begin reading in the book of Matthew chapter 13. And in verse 1 it says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Whoso hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Now, Father, thank you for the Word of God that you've given us. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you've provided. And Lord, we just pray you'd help us to truly have ears to hear, and a heart, and eyes to see, and a heart to understand. And Lord, you know each heart here. And I just ask your help this day in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've all heard the parable of the sower and the seed many times, probably preached. And it's been repeated often. Multitudes of sermons on it. And the context is very clear. The sower is the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the seed is the Word of God. There's no understanding. There's no misunderstanding of that. The field here is specifically, in this instance, talking about Israel. And he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And because of their rejection of the Word of God, they did not recognize that Christ was fulfilling the Scriptures in front of them. And their hardness of heart cost them. And of course, we can extend this to the world because of the same understanding of what happens. You see the seed that falls, some seed falls upon by the wayside and it's just lying on the top of the ground. It never gets in to the earth, and the fowls of the air deliver it. And of course, that obviously so often the Word of God is preached, right? And it was preached to Israel. And rather than pondering it in their hearts, it just was on the surface. They just walked away and forgot it. And, of course, the parable goes that the fowls of the air, the devil, when he comes, that's what he wants to do. He wants to snatch it away before it can take root. And so he talks about that, and then he says, some fell upon stony places. And those are the type of people that hear. They like what they hear, right? They like what they hear, but they don't take the time to consider the cost, or they don't take the time to consider the atmosphere in which they live. And so then persecution comes up, and they're offended, and they give up, and they quit. And then you have those that has fell among the thorns, and the thorns come up and choke the word. And he said, those are those that hear the word of God, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and those things, they choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It doesn't produce any fruit. And he said, those that receive the word in good ground are those that hear the word and understand it, and it's in their heart, and they bring forth fruit with patience. They endure. They continue to walk with him. And so he tells them to take heed. He said, if any man has ears to hear, he let him hear. And he says to them that they asked him, he said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. And we use this in the context of Israel, and the context here is that it is a fulfillment of the prophecy against the Jews. But the principle holds fast for all of us, by the way. But the context is the Jews, and the prophecy that was in the book of Isaiah that was fulfilled when Christ came. They heard, but they didn't hear. They saw, but they didn't see. They perceived, but they didn't understand. And so they did not understand who Christ was, because they had already gone about. They had not submitted themselves to God's righteousness, which is imparted by faith, but they had went about to establish their own righteousness, and they sought righteousness, as it were, by the works of the law, the book of Romans tells us. They didn't seek it by faith. And so, in the context here, the context is hearing the Word of God. The context of this particular parable is the Word of God, and hearing the Word of God, and hearing the good news of the Gospel, and hearing about the Messiah, the Savior, and at this point, from the Savior's very mouth. And there's the picture, and he likens that to the judgment of God on the Jews. But he says to them, he says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. You know, Israel was given unto them the oracles of God. The Old Testament was given to them. And the early church was Jewish. The believers were Jewish. But it has long since been that the church, the gospel, has gone out to the Gentile more than the Jew. Even though it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Israel still remains segregated from faith in Jesus Christ to this day, by and large, even though there are some. You know, we support Hope of Israel Baptist Missions, and they're doing a work, you know, trying to reach Jewish people, and praise the Lord for it, because we don't want to ever neglect them. But their eyes have been darkened, their understanding is, and what they had has been taken away from them. Very literally. And I thank God that there's coming a time where He will redeem Israel as a nation. And the Bible is very explicit about that. Romans chapter 9, 10, 11. But when you look into that, and it talks about it in several other places in the Old Testament, that what God's going to do. But this is a time frame right now where we are seeing this very parable lived out in the nation of Israel. They rejected the word of God, and they lost it. They lost their Messiah, their Savior, because they blinded themselves. They don't understand because of the hardness of their hearts. But here's an understanding that we need to understand. Here's something that we need to understand. In principle, we need to comprehend that this applies to us as well. It applies to us in the fact that how we hear the Word of God is important. That we have ears to hear, that we have a heart that's yielded to hear, it is important. Why? Because not only do we deal with the consequence of how we hear, all right, and where the Word of God goes. You know, that which falls by the wayside. If we're not intent, if we allow things to, if we don't take the time to think upon it and let it get into our hearts, well, then what happens? It goes away. And I would say this, ask yourself, why when the Word of God is preached that you don't remember what was preached later? It's not always just because you have a bad memory. It might be because you don't have ears to hear. You're not engaged to hear. There is an adversary. We're told, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that is in the world. If you have a devil that's goal is to keep people from actually getting the Word of God into their hearts, I would say he's well engaged in doing that, and not just here, but everywhere. In whatever measure or capacity he has. Either directly or through those that are devils with him. But there is a thing there. There's a parable there. There's something to do. Why can't you remember? And that ought to be a good question. And if you can't remember, and here's the thing. It's not so much that just that you can't remember. It's that you don't put forth the effort to remember, but sometimes the thing is, the greater question is, why don't you want to remember? That's a good question. Why don't you want to remember? And then that goes into the idea of, obviously we have the person that where it falls in the stony place, and it says there's not much earth. It doesn't get very deep. And then when trouble comes, when persecution for the word rises, or a lot of times when trouble comes, we abandon our biblical principles. when a difficulty comes. And this particular thing, speaking with Israel, you remember what happened with Israel. So many people he had, there were multitudes that followed Jesus, but when things got tough, out of the multitudes, when you get to the day of Pentecost, there was only 120, right? Out of the multitudes. Why? You remember the man that was born blind in John chapter 9? You remember him? His mother and father, they knew that Jesus had healed him, but they were afraid to get kicked out of the synagogue, so they said, we don't know. You ask him. He's of age, ask him. They were afraid of men. There were multitudes that followed Jesus. And then at the crucifixion, the Bible tells us that the chief priest and the elders, they persuaded the people to ask for Barabbas. Why did they abandon Christ so quickly? Because they didn't want to walk a path that would include hardship, include perseverance. They didn't want to walk a path of faith. And then you have those that fell upon among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Isn't it amazing, so many people today, we look at Israel, and Israel was, they were obviously, everybody's concerned with their day-to-day existence, but why is it that our day-to-day existence gets us away from the Word of God? Why is it so easily replaced? You know, if I go and I want to plant seed in the garden, I don't just let the garden, which reminds me, I need to weed my garden, by the way. But I don't just let the garden go and throw it in there and hope for the best. No, I go in there and I till out a place. And then when things intrude into that place, I go in there and pluck them out, so that what I planted will grow. Do you carve out a place in your heart for the Word of God? Or does everything else just overtake it and it becomes forgotten? And obviously we all hope that it would fall into good ground and bring forth fruit, some 100, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And he says, whosoever hath ears to hear, let him hear. But we look on that, and then comes the warning. For unto whosoever hath, to him shall be given. For unto whosoever hath, shall him shall be given. You know, when I began studying the Bible, I wasn't called to preach, at least to my knowledge and what I understood of calling for. I didn't have that great burden. But I did have a desire to know the Word of God. I did have a desire to study it. Sister Denise can tell you, how many times in conversations we had over the Bible over the years and just talked, and I'd read something out of the Bible and we'd sit there and talk about it and discuss it. And all during that time, and the reality and the truth of the matter is that the more you seek to understand the Bible, the more you give the attention to the Word of God like you're supposed to, the more you're going to get from it. And here's the context of hearing the Word of God, of giving it that special carved out place, of keeping everything else from interfering with it and making that supreme. That's the whole point. It's God's Word. Why would you not give it a special place? It's God's Word. Why would you not give it a special time? It's God's Word. Why would you not want to understand it and desire to understand it correctly? It's God's Word. And we can talk for believers, the loss of reward, obviously. But not just the loss of reward, the loss of peace in this world. The loss of strength to get through the day. The loss of joy. To live without knowing the mercy of God in full. To live without having a clear conscience toward God. We all know that God is merciful, but it's the difference between knowing that someone is merciful and actually being a recipient of mercy. And we're told to come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might find mercy, grace and mercy to help in time of need. So we're supposed to have that. To have that type of grace, to have that type of understanding, to get a blessing out of the Word of God. That's the whole point here. And isn't it amazing what happens if we look at this? Just, we're not talking about the context of an unbeliever, you know, all the morality, all the good works and all the good things that they have, that those that reject the gospel, eventually they will lose everything, won't they? And Israel lost greatly, didn't they? That which they had was taken away. And then we look ultimately in that type of function. But you look at those who walk away from the Word of God, and those for whatever reason they don't hear the Word of God the way they're supposed to, they don't receive it the way they're supposed to, and they walk away from church, and they walk away, and you know what? They lose even that which they had. I've seen it play out so many times in people's lives. Probably one of the greatest casualties that we've had in our recent time is the COVID thing, and I'm talking about the casualty on churches. And we've experienced it, and others have too. You know, we look at this and we say, boy, we don't have the people we used to have, and so we've got to try to work and try to get people up, and hopefully eventually people will start coming. But it's not just people that were here left. It's a lot of people now have the mindset that they're not coming to church at all. All right? So we look at all of that type of attitude. But those that have been in church and known the blessing of fellowship, they were growing. They were many times, and most times, they just lose what they did have. They lose that relationship with God that they did have. Kind of hard, kids, for people to pay attention if you're talking. All right, now think about that. I just want you to think about that. I'm just trying to reason with you this morning and get you to think about it. It says, to whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. We're talking about understanding of the Word of God. We're talking about a relationship with God. We're talking about a loss of reward. And for somebody who's not saved, who rejects the Word of God, loss of your soul. There's a cost. We're warned of a cost. We're warned of a loss. Not just not getting more, but losing what we already have. The old preachers used to say you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Yep. Not in America, but in some places they did. Some places they did. Remember in ancient Egypt, they in many other cultures, they would bury riches with the bodies. And they sat there until thieves broke through and stole it all. Yeah. And so it was stolen. It wasn't taken with them. You can't take that out into eternity. All the things that you and I put great stock in, and the things of this world that we enjoy, whether rightfully, and there are rightful things to enjoy, or wrongfully, you're going to lose it all. Every bit of it. But unto him that hear that has shall be given. So the time to gather that which is most needful and spiritual is now. Because there's coming a day when there's a reckoning, obviously. And in this case, it's the Word of God. The focus here is the Word of God and the Gospel. What have you done with the Gospel? Have you just heard it and it fell on deaf ears? I don't need Jesus. And we're told in the Bible, as you've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Well, I'm saved. I don't need any more. I don't need any more of that. I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. I put my faith and trust in Christ. You might want to check to find out if you're genuinely saved. Just a thought. But there's a consequence to how we hear the Word of God. And if we, whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. And when we put that in the context of the Word of God, that would mean that I want to get the Word of God right. And I want to keep the Word of God. Okay? You can have a million of these right here, this Bible I hold in my hand. You can have a million of them. Okay? But if the words on this on these pages never make it, and the principles and the precepts and the commandments and all the things that are therein, if they never make it into your heart, you can take your millions of books and Bibles. And when the pages are all burnt up, you have nothing. You can have it on your computer, on your phone, on your tablet, but when they fail, you have nothing. But those that faithfully study and have a right heart attitude and prepare their heart and have good ground, have that place in their heart set aside for the Word of God, giving it that type of not just prominence and preeminence and authority in their lives, they have more. And they continue to gain. Those that put the Word of God in their hearts, those that receive it, those that don't allow the world to get in the way of it, those that want to live by faith, those that genuinely listen, those are the ones that the Word of God makes a difference in their life. So where are you? Will you lose that which you already have? If they took your Bible away today, how much would remain with you? How much would you retain? How much would you have? Something to think about. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close the Sunday School Hour. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for this challenge that we have this morning. I pray you'd work in every person's heart. Help us, Lord, to understand the truth of your Word. But above all, Lord, help us to desire it more than anything else. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Help us to believe that, and that to be our experience. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.